We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien. Well, attorney slash barrister slash lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, we've been talking off the air. It's a great day for Minnesota hockey. Three of the four teams in the Frozen Four are from Minnesota, and not one of them is the University of Minnesota. You got, well, St. Cloud State will play against Minnesota State Mankato in one semifinal. Mm-hmm. And you got UMD, Minnesota Duluth, playing against Massachusetts in the other. So we're guaranteed of a finalist. One of the teams in the final will be a Minnesota team. And now you watch the Gopher games. Did you watch the five overtime game, which I think lasted almost till dawn?
I did not. I was following it on Twitter. You know, definitely I was pulling for UMD. I mean, I don't have a, having not gone to any of these schools, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm, you know, next year would be different when St. Thomas is D1, then I'll care about, you know, I'll have an actual team that I'd be cheering for in this. But, you know, I just wanted to see as many Minnesota teams get through as possible. You know, we had started out with five. I mean, there was a chance they could have taken all four spots until Saturday afternoon when Bemidji State lost to Massachusetts. So, you know, there was a period there where it was looking like it was going to be, we could get all four slots, but three out of four ain't bad. So, you know, I was UMD, you know, what an effort on Saturday night into Sunday morning, going up against the top ranked team in the country with North Dakota, and their storied history, and to go five overtimes and finally win. You know, St. Cloud State won pretty handily. So they're going to make their first trip since, I think, 2013 was the last time they got to the Frozen Four. And Minnesota State Mankato making their first trip and doing it with a really decisive victory against the Gophers last night.
Well, and Minnesota State Mankato, they've had a rough time in the NCAA tournament in past years. So I'm glad to see that they've made it. It's a tribute to them and good for them to do it. Now,
well, yeah. Even the Saturday game, they had to come back. They were down 2-0. They had to force overtime, and that's how they won. I mean, they got in. They advanced by the skin of their teeth. And I think the way the Gophers won so easily against Omaha, I think everybody kind of thought that it was going to be probably an easy victory for the Gophers. I think, unfortunately, the Gophers thought so too, and that's what I think part led to the result last night. That, I mean, they just were completely outclassed on the ice.
Well, and you know, the other thing I wonder about is the Gophers, do they have to change their whole strategy for recruiting? Because they get the top players in the state often, but the players last a year, maybe two, and then they go and play in the NHL. So these other teams are taking exceptional players, but they're not getting that high caliber that's not there very long with the Gophers. And they're coming out, you know, they're not going and playing the juniors. The top players are going right into the Gopher program as freshmen. And some of these kids that St. Cloud State, Minnesota State, Mankato, and UMD have, they're men. They're seasoned because they've been playing the juniors. Yeah. And they are better than some of these kids that are coming in for the Gophers. So, it happened. I'm not going to overanalyze it. They had a great goaltender. I mean, he's the best goaltender it seemed to be in hockey. But it didn't work for him, so I want to go back and say what a tribute to these other three schools, UMD, St. Cloud State, and Minnesota Mankato. So that's going to be fun. Yeah. That should be I hope a Minnesota team wins, because you'd hate to see one team from Massachusetts wind up the national champion when you got three others from Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that UMD is, it's fortunate they have a week to recover after that yes. emotional game against North Dakota. I look for UMD to be able to advance, and then, you know, then we'll have an all Minnesota final. And you know, we were talking off the air, Bob, that, you know, when Herb Brooks became the coach at St. Cloud State back when St. Cloud State went Division 1, he said that at that time that he was of the opinion that there were a lot more Minnesota schools that could go Division 1 hockey. And I say, I tweeted this out last night, he's got to be looking down smiling at the result here, that you have three of the four Minnesota schools, and none of them being the actual University of Minnesota. That really says something about Minnesota hockey and these other programs.
Well, and starting next year, there's a chance there could be six Minnesota teams making it, because your Tommies will be D1.
That's right. They're going to be D1. They'll be in the same conference with Minnesota State, Mankato, and Bemidji State. So they're going to have tough competition. It's going to be a lot, for all these other schools, it didn't happen overnight getting into the tournament. Tommies are going to throw a lot of, come with a lot of financial backing. I think that some have predicted that they'll progress in D1 faster than maybe some of the other programs have. But it's certainly going to be fun. This is another problem. You mentioned about the recruiting. When this again goes back to this Big Ten conference, when players are being able to choose a school like UMD, like St. Cloud State, like Bemidji State, like Mankato, now like St. Thomas, where family members can see them, multiple times a year throughout the state playing if they wanted to.
That's a great point because of the number of competitions.
Versus playing. I mean, it's hard to get up. We're playing Penn State or Ohio State. It's not the same rivalry as it is in football and basketball. It's just not. And you have the WCHA that was so part of college hockey in this state for so long. And when it broke up, the CCHA and the NCHC really have been the beneficiaries of that. The Big Ten just has not been a good hockey conference.
Well, that's a great point. Jeff, we need to move on for a second to we were talking off the air about what's happened in Georgia with voting. And do you see this happening across the country? It would have to happen most likely in states that have Republican legislatures, correct?
Yeah, correct. Arizona is doing something. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, they have Republican legislatures, but not Republican governors. So I don't know how far those efforts are going. I know that Wisconsin's having some sort of investigation but the Georgia thing really has been overblown. I mean, the president calling it, Jim Crow, all these things, it's really not the case. I mean, they're focusing on this issue of being able to hand out food and drink while people are waiting in line. Well, all that does is prohibit campaign workers from doing it, not poll workers, because there was some concern that there's electioneering. They're trying to prevent any electioneering while people are standing in line.
Then
the other issue is this photo ID for the absentee ballot.
Well, what it is election integrity, is it not? How does this prevent someone from voting?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I grew up in a time when if you got an absentee ballot, it's because you were going to go on a vacation or you wouldn't be home. And I'm not saying they go there, but if we have to show an ID to get, obviously more than an ID now to get on a plane, why isn't the rules the same? I mean, as an example, you couldn't get into the Democratic National Convention without an ID. You have to be credentialed for that, but you can vote. I just think just everywhere it should be universal, and anyone who says otherwise is looking to, I think, to basically skim the system. Show an ID when you go to vote. Show an ID when you want your ballot. It's not that this is an important. Every election is important. You should have to go a little bit out of your way.
The reason I think it's why I like the change to requiring the photo ID to get the absentee ballot is this, because otherwise you're trying to do signature matching between envelope and ballot. Because remember, the ballots have to be separated from the envelope to be anonymous when they're counting ballots. That was one of the criticisms of Georgia, was that there was no way of doing signature matching, right? And just like in Florida in 2000, when there's controversy, regardless of who ends up prevailing, the elected officials, the state officials, try to do things to eliminate what caused the controversy. In Georgia, back then, Florida made reforms. Florida doesn't have issues with their ballots anymore. Georgia's trying to do the same thing. I don't see why this is so controversial. And for those that on the Democrats that are complaining about it and saying this is somehow because, they won and not Trump, well, then go thank the writers at Time Magazine who had to put the article out bragging about how, because of COVID, state elected officials, there was this cabal of media and elected officials that had voting laws changed to allow for, the mailed out ballots and all those things. It's like, then don't brag about it.
Well, okay,
Jeff,
here's what I don't understand. For years now, I've been doing it. I'm guessing maybe you have too. I have been filing my tax returns online. if you can file your tax returns online and get the money back that, or pay in the money that you have, why can't we vote online using your Social Security number? That should be secure, because then it's only one vote and you could track it. I don't understand that. And you also have the polls open, because other people will vote for them. Is that what they're worried about?
I'm less hot on the idea of voting online. I'm more inclined to have a single day be like a national holiday and everybody show up and vote. It used to be there was election day, not election days. So my concern is making sure that whoever is voting is legally voting, right? That they're eligible to vote, that they're in the right precinct, that they're, that nobody is filling out the ballot for them. That's my concern.
Okay.
When you start to get into the mail stuff, the online stuff, to me, introduce variables that increase the chance that could happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, I get that. All right. Well, Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, as always, greatly appreciate it. The BS Show, take a quick break, and we will be right back.